Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Where would we be without photography? From the first images of the legendary Yellowstone country by William Henry Jackson to the stunning black and white studies by the master Ansel Adams, nature has been well served by the lens and the paper. And now it's a digital freedom. We're all snapping like never before. Time for a few pointers from our friends at Kodak. We're talking photography when your voice of the earth returns here on the Wildside News. Whether it's capturing the grand landscape, going close up with a newly discovered wildflower, or just catching pictures of friends in the high country, photography has changed with the digital revolution. But taking a good photo, take two. But taking a good photo still relies on the basics.
Well, I'm really happy to have as a guest now on the Wildside News, David Kasnoff, who works with Kodak. David, welcome to the Wildside News.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Dave, you know, literally millions of people are going to be heading out very often to parks and national parks and rivers and lakes and things like that. Many of those people love to record those moments photographically. Why don't you talk about the trends in photography? Are more and more people using photographs now and cameras with the digital, or what is the trend line on that?
Well, we're finding that consumers in the United States and globally are really captivated by digital photography. It's incredibly easy to use. It creates generally a lot of sharing of pictures, and a lot of consumers find it much easier to print the pictures they really want, whether they do it at home, online, or at a retail store. And even in the event that digital is becoming more popular, there's still a segment of the audience and consumers that finds that their film camera really gives them a terrific value because it's so easy to use. With a film camera, you don't need to use a computer. You take your photographs, you drop your film off, you come back, you get your film negatives, you get your prints, and in many cases you can have your pictures digitized to a Kodak Picture CD or similar product. And if you want to have them in electronic form, in digital form, you can take that CD home, pop it in your computer, and email your pictures much the same way you could with a picture that originated in a digital camera.
It's a terrific crossover that's happening to kind of do whatever you want to do these days. But, you know, nevertheless, whether you're shooting with digital or with film, still there are principles of taking better photographs. I know Kodak has lots of terrific information and advice on that. Let's hear some ideas on how people, as they head out, can create better photographs.
Well, what we generally tell people, the most important thing to do is to keep it simple. And if you either haven't used your camera in a while, or even if you're an avid photographer, one of the smartest things to do is first check and make sure your camera has fresh batteries. Almost all cameras use batteries now. Make sure the lens is clean. There's no dust on it, and just make sure everything works perfectly before they go on a vacation. We advise them to shoot a couple of pictures, finish off a roll that may still be in their camera, or shoot a couple of digital pictures, and then go over to the store, print them, make sure that the results are consistent with your expectations. The next thing to do, just in terms of taking good pictures, is to focus on one main idea or one main subject in a photo, whether it's family members, whether it's a scenic view of the Grand Canyon, whether it's a lighthouse on the shore of Maine, whatever it is, not to try and clutter the picture. And the easiest way to prevent cluttering a picture is to get closer to your subject. Really have it fill the frame. Now, zoom cameras make that easy, but a much simpler way to zoom and to get better pictures is to zoom with your feet. Take an extra step closer to your subject, and what that does is it removes a lot of background clutter from your photograph. And another thing we tell people, particularly because the vast majority of vacation photos in the summertime are taken outdoors during the day, we tell people to use the flash on their cameras even if it's bright sun out, because what most people don't necessarily have an awareness of is the fact that at midday, the sun being right overhead, it creates these this glare and shadow on the faces of your subjects. And if you use the on-camera flash, that helps eliminate the glare and the dark circles under the eyes that are just a function of having the sun come from straight overhead. Now, experienced photographers will tell you the best time to shoot really rich, colorful photos is at the beginning of the day before the sun is high in the sky, or very late in the day, just around the time the sun is going down, because then the sun's at a low angle, you get these very nice shadows, you get a lot of contrast, and the photos are much more scenic and similar to what you would see on postcards.
Here's a question that I would have, because I don't really have an answer to this. So I'm taking a picture, let's say, of three of my friends out on the lake, and they're having some fun. Is it better to take a full body shot or perhaps pull in a little closer?
You know, most people do try and do the full body, and I know, for example, my feet aren't terribly attractive, and you don't need to show them in photographs. Usually for most people, head and shoulders is fine. Unless they're wearing a very unusually colored bathing suit and you want to capture that, I encourage people to move in close enough so that you crop them at waist level. It's more flattering. It emphasizes the face and the eyes. And that's what most people want to see in a portrait or a candid shot of people is the face and the eyes.
Now, what about the position of the person in relationship to the sun? In other words, should they be facing the sun or should they possibly be in more at an angle to the sun? What is your recommendation?
Again, generally, putting the sun off to one side or slightly behind your shoulders makes for a more flattering photo. The problem is if the sun is directly behind the photographer and someone is looking at the photographer, they're going to squint. They're going to scrunch up their face. The photo won't be nearly as flattering. So the advantage of having side light or sunlight at an angle is that it can create a little bit of shadow and a little bit of depth perception and character in the photo of a person or of an object. And people think that photography is all about capturing light, but it's also about capturing, shadows and the subtle details in the light and darkness.
There's some interesting concepts in terms of composition, the one-third, two-third, that a lot of Kodak photographers talk about. How can you make that easy for us to understand?
Well, in some cases there are digital cameras that you can press the display button on the camera and it'll put what looks like a small tic-tac-toe board over the LCD, the screen on the back of your camera. That's called the rule of thirds, and what it does is it helps you compose the picture instead of having your subject right smack in the center of the photo. What professional photographers very often do is compose their photos so that if it's a person or an object, it is at the intersection of one of those crosshairs, the up and down and the sideways of that imaginary tic-tac-toe board. If your camera doesn't have that, just sort of envision that when you look in the viewfinder and try and compose your subject in one of those intersections of the tic-tac-toe board. And what you find is you've got a photo that balances both the subject of the photo and some of the background detail. It's much more intriguing than what we would tend to think of as a mugshot, where the person or the object is right dead center of the photo.
Many people are going to experience wildlife. What are some thoughts in terms of, when you come across animals, what should people think about?
Well, the first thing they should think about is their own safety. They shouldn't take unnecessary risks in trying to get too close to a wild animal. You don't know whether the wild animal is hunting or whether it's injured and therefore feels it needs to defend itself. Now, the great thing is there are a number of digital cameras out on the market today, including the Kodak EasyShare DX7590. They have 10x optical zoom. It can bring you 10 times closer. This camera and similar ones from other manufacturers can really get you close to your subject without getting in a risky situation. The nice thing about these cameras is many of them have excellent control over shutter speed and aperture, or you can leave them on auto and they'll still take a good picture. There isn't the click typically of a mechanical shutter as you have with a film camera, so it is less obtrusive and less distracting to the wild animal.
One of the differences, the obvious differences between the film and the digital that a lot of people find a little confusing and frustrating, you know, with standard film cameras, typically when you click at that moment, you got a shot. With the digital, there oftentimes is a delay, and sometimes literally it takes a while for that image to mature. That can be difficult, and the person takes a shot, they look and they find out that it's blurred, it isn't clear. How can they help that?
Well, you know, every digital camera, and I mean every digital camera, does something called pre-focus, and it is so easy to get a near instantaneous working of the shutter button. If you compose your picture, and then you just half-press the shutter button. What that does is it locks the exposure, it locks the focus, and then once you've got that, and there's usually a little confirmation on the screen or in the viewfinder, a little light goes on, then push it the rest of the way, and the shutter trips instantaneously. It's 1/10 of a second. Most people are accustomed to pushing a shutter on a mechanical shutter button on a camera. And what they don't realize is the cameras that did that did not have a little computer chip inside that measured the light, measured the aperture, chose the shutter speed, decided whether the color balance was correct. And digital cameras do all that, and it's a computation that takes a fraction of a second. But if consumers got in the habit of sort of pre-focusing the camera, pushing that shutter button down halfway, and then once they've got the photo they want composed, push it the rest of the way, they would get a better composed photo. They'd get the photo that they intended to shoot.
Certainly, if people get out and really practice before they head out and want to take some serious shots, then really learn their camera, because the differences in digital cameras and how they operate are quite significant, really.
Well, pretty much. And, you know, I've seen this myself. I've seen people come to the airport going on vacation, and they're taking the camera out of the package while they're in the terminal.
Right.
They haven't. And frankly, it puts them in an awkward situation. Very often, the battery needs to charge for a few hours before you first use it, which means you're going to not be able to use the camera until you get to your hotel and have a chance to charge it, or your campground and hope there's a place to charge it. They really should take the camera, and even if it's late afternoon or early evening, get it home, charge the battery, go out and take pictures of everyday things just around their street. I mean, the great thing about digital is you don't want to keep the photo forever. You can delete it. This way, you get comfortable with using it. You say, oh, okay, it does this. It takes this much time to extend the lens from 1x to 10x. And you get more of an appreciation for how the camera works. Now, truth be known, many digital cameras operate in a similar fashion. They all use an autofocus system. Some have manual override, but the vast majority use autofocus. They all have that pre-focus. They all have a flash that you can set to fire all the time, or not fire, or only fire for red eye effect. A lot of the features on digital cameras are similar. The one thing that's very unique about the Kodak EasyShare system is that our cameras have a share button on the back of them. So if you get a photo that you think is really extraordinary, you can push that little red share button on the back of the camera, and it tags the picture so that later on, when you're downloading the pictures into your computer, the software that came with the camera that you can install on your computer will ask, okay, who did you want to share this with? Or, this is the picture you tagged for sharing. Do you want to email it here? Do you want to upload it to the Kodak EasyShare gallery online to print? And it sort of leaves a mental footnote or a digital footnote tagged to that particular image.
I've heard of the EasyShare. Now I understand what that's about.
Well, one of the things we wanted to do with EasyShare, the whole point of it was that people found digital cameras a little bit daunting, because at the time that they became very, very popular, film cameras were still widely used, and people didn't know how to get the digital pictures out of the camera. They would fill a memory card and go, what do I do with this now? Because it's not a roll of film. You could take it to the store and they would print from it, but you could share. So one of those things we came up with was the EasyShare camera dock, which allowed you to put the camera down on this little dock. It was wired with a USB cable to your computer. You press the little button on the dock, the camera automatically downloaded the pictures into your computer. It brought up little thumbnail displays, and it emptied the memory card, and oh, by the way, while that was going on, your camera battery was being recharged. So the whole idea of making it easier to share the pictures and get them out of your camera and do more with them was the thinking behind the Kodak EasyShare system.
EasyShare. It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
No, it really makes sense. It's a great concept. I know that very often it's easy to fill up a card. And quite honestly, card management, in other words, the digital cards that you're saving these things on, is an important part of really enjoying the photographic experience. Because if you just clutter up your card with photographs, every time you go and look at that card, you've got to go through all these things to try to figure out what's the most current, most interesting photograph. How about digital editing? Give us some advice about that.
Well, the nice thing about digital photography is it lets you manipulate your photos a countless number of ways. And you don't need to, you can spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on professional digital editing software, or you can use free software. When you buy a Kodak EasyShare camera, or when you get your film pictures placed on a Kodak picture CD in digital format, both of those products come with the latest version of Kodak EasyShare software.
Hmm.
And this software lets you do minor editing and some very creative things. It lets you lighten your photos. It lets you change the contrast. It lets you do a little bit of sharpening so that if something is not quite in focus, you can digitally enhance it. It lets you do some wild things, turn your photos to black and white or sepia tone. You can create an artificial fisheye look in your digital pictures. You can download the EasyShare software for free from our website, www.kodak.com. And like I say, EasyShare comes at no charge. The nice thing about it is it lets you play with your pictures. They don't sit in a shoebox and gather dust. You can do more with them. And from EasyShare software, you can email them. And you can order prints from the Kodak EasyShare gallery online, all from that software. So it's a great tool for doing more with your photographs. The one thing I caution people to do is to remember, what the subject of the photograph is and not over-correct or overplay with the photo. It's fun, you can have fun and do a fisheye type photo of your son or daughter. But, remember, it's a photo of your son and daughter. If you want to keep it, don't over-correct it. A lot of people, very common practice, because some of the software lets you do it so easily, is to over-sharpen photos. And in doing that, sometimes it creates very ghastly-looking halos around people, and they almost look otherworldly. And very often with digital image editing, what I tell them is less is more. Do less tinkering with it than you think you want to, and the photo will be very satisfying, and it'll make a nice print.
That's absolutely true. I know that with the digital editing capabilities now, you can do almost anything, but you can also spend a lot of time and end up saying, I should have left it the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Very often, I find that I shoot a lot of events that friends and family take part in, and a lot of them take place indoors in social halls and schools, and schools don't have the best lighting in the world. Schools, they're trying to keep their costs down, so they use fluorescent lights, and historically fluorescent lights created a rather unpleasant greenish cast in the background. Well, you can adjust that
mm-hmm.
in EasyShare software and a number of different software packages and sort of make it all pleasant. But remember that what you want to come away with is not so much the background being changed. You want, good skin tones that are identical to the natural skin tones of your subject. Again, that's the point where you can correct the picture to the point where it's really, overcorrected and the skin tones don't look natural.
Also, some advice on how to make sure, now that you've taken all these photographs, and particularly around the 4th of July, some of these cameras are going to be exposed to some pretty high temperatures and sunlight. What should people be concerned about there?
Well, whether it's a film camera or a digital camera, what I urge people to do is, you can go out and buy a very expensive water-resistant camera bag, and there are some excellent ones out there, but they usually say, I have a big camera bag, and if you're at all in an area where there are some unsavory people around, that's sort of an advertisement that says, steal this bag. What I tell people to do is go out and buy a $3.99 cooler bag, the kind of thing you'd carry a lunch in to the beach or to the park. Usually it looks pretty much like a cooler bag. And it doesn't say, I have an expensive camera in here. The nice thing about it is you get some protection from the elements. It's waterproof. It's unobtrusive. Many of them now have a lot of pockets. And it's also, you know, while you buy it, many of them come with these little freezable, reusable ice packs. And I say, you know, put that little ice pack in a little Ziploc type resealable bag and stick that in your bag with your camera and its film, or with the camera and its memory cards. The cold won't hurt the camera, and the cold actually will help protect the film and keep everything working optimally.
Because if either film or digital cameras get too hot, you lose.
Right.
There it goes.
Well, and you know, frankly, what many people don't always realize is that digital cameras are like carrying around a tiny little computer, and everyone has had the situation sometime in their life where their computer has failed because of excessive heat, because the fan in the computer wasn't operating properly. And a digital camera will get warm when you use it, because when you draw on its internal battery, it's a little reaction there that creates heat as a byproduct. So those are some easy things to do. The other thing I tell people is to, you can pick these up almost anywhere, buy a mini tripod. Hmm. Virtually every camera in the world comes with a little tripod socket in the bottom, and you can buy a mini tripod with bendable wire legs or even mini retracting legs for really about $5 or less. And that allows you to do two things. It allows you to do photographs without flash, because you can turn the flash off, take longer exposures. If the camera's sitting on a tripod, it's not moving, there's less camera shake, you get a better photo with natural light. The other thing it allows you to do is use the self-timer on the camera and include yourself in some of these pictures. And you don't have to carry a big professional tripod if you have one of these little pocket ones. And, you know, I know people who just keep them in their briefcase.
They're fabulous. 3, 4, 5 inches tall. And
that's all you need.
They work perfectly installed on a table or on a car or whatever, yeah.
And if you don't want to use that, a little beanbag will actually provide some stability. Hmm. The whole idea with any kind of photography is to reduce shaking of the camera, and you get sharper photos. And if you have any kind of shake in your hands, using a mini tripod or a beanbag or some other firm support will dramatically improve your photos.
Dave, what's happening at Kodak these days that people are going to find exciting in the years ahead?
Well, our emphasis has been on always, you know, providing great ways to take and share and print photos. One of the things that we're very excited about this fall is the introduction of our Kodak EasyShare 1 digital camera, which will be the first camera to use wireless technology. What that means is you'll be able to take pictures with this camera, and if you're in a Wi-Fi hotspot, say a coffee shop or a library, or even at home if you have a wireless network, you'll be able to beam the pictures, if you will, from the camera into your computer or online to the Kodak EasyShare gallery, right from the camera.
That is really, really fun. That's really cool.
Yeah, and one of the nice things about the camera is it will have the largest, one of the largest LCD screens, so even people who, you know, are uncomfortable using the little ones, this will have a 3-inch diagonal screen. It will have 256 megabytes of onboard memory, which means it will be able to hold hundreds of photos right in the camera. The camera will actually, in its own way, be an EasyShare photo album, because you'll be able to view them right on that 3-inch screen. And you'll be able to create little albums online and it actually comes with a tiny little stylus, because the screen on the camera is a touch screen. It'll let you say, choose this album, send these pictures using that touch screen. And the whole idea here is, again, to make sharing pictures and printing pictures simple. One of the fun things about it is, you'll be able to walk into a retail store that has a Kodak picture maker kiosk and beam the pictures right from the camera into the kiosk and have them printed.
You could possibly even beam them to your palm or your iPad or something like that as well?
Sure, anything that is Wi-Fi capable, it should be able to interface with.
The one thing I think is interesting that you keep on mentioning is this online gallery. That, you mean it's possible to upload photographs to the Kodak gallery and share them with your friends?
Oh, sure. The Kodak EasyShare gallery, it's kodakgallery.com, is a website where you can upload at no cost all your digital pictures and put them in little albums and send notes to people, send little slideshows to people. It's more like an invitation to come view a slideshow of these pictures. and both you, and they can order prints and photo gifts and T-shirts and mugs imprinted with photographs and photo books of your vacation online. The storage is limitless. The storage is free.
Wow.
I have a couple of thousand photos on KodakGallery.com that I'm able to share with anyone with an email address. And it's easy and very convenient. You don't have to, if you don't want to drive to the store, you can do it from the comfort of your living room. And then they'll mail you the photographs.
So this is open to virtually anybody that just wants to use the service?
Anybody.
Why don't you give that website again?
It's www.kodakgallery, all one word, .com.
David Kasnoff with Kodak, I want to thank you so much. You're going to head out and have some fun this weekend?
Oh, you bet. I have some hot dogs to burn, so I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds like a great weekend. Thanks, David.
You bet, Sydney.
And when you find yourself without your camera, there's always that good old pencil and paper to render the wonder. Five secrets to better nature drawing are about to be unveiled. I guarantee you, you'll improve any drawing you do if you just listen up. So stay tuned.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.